Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today as once again we face the issues. It's always our prayer that you'll join in the dialogue and the discussion. You can do that by dialing 831-0917, 831-0917. We're going to be talking about today how to have a right Christmas, how to have a right Christmas. You know, there's an old song that's been around for many, many years. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. Of course, you can tell that I can't carry a tune in a bucket. But anyway, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, but I want you to understand I'm looking forward to a right Christmas, right Christmas. How do we celebrate Christmas aright? What should we do? And ladies and gentlemen, I have with me today Pastor Davis. Pastor Davis and I are going to be talking about and fielding your questions as we talk about the subject, how to have a right Christmas. Pastor Davis, welcome to the broadcast today. Looking forward to what the Lord's going to say through you as we talk about this wonderful holy season.
Thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood, for being here this morning. Amen. First, I want to say good morning. Amen. To my bride of 35 years. Amen. My wife. Amen. Love you so much. Amen. To all of our listeners. Amen. That are listening this morning by way of internet down in South Florida. Bruce, happy birthday. All the rest of the other listeners down there. We love you so much. Amen. And all of you. Amen. The saints down in St. Mary's, Georgia. Amen. So many people I see, Dr. Youngblood, amen, tell us that they're listening to the broadcast.
Wonderful.
And I'm very grateful to them for giving us the opportunity to be able to minister to them.
Amen.
In that way.
How does the old cliche go? May their tribe increase.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
It's such a blessing. We're looking forward to it. I pray that it's a blessing each and every day. And ladies and gentlemen, lest I forget it, at this juncture, let me just say, we, Pastor Davis and I together, we want to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Amen.
We pray that this Christmas season will be one like none other that you've celebrated. And I'm praying that what we have to say will be a little small modicum of input into how to celebrate this Christmas season, what we should do, how should we respond in relationship to it. I'm looking at an article that says this. The question is asked so often, exactly what is Christmas all about? Is it the decorations, the shopping, the gifts, and special dinners, or is it something more than that? Are we simply following the tradition and customs that make for an exciting, fun-filled holiday? Of course, as Christians, we all know that the right answer to the celebration of Christmas is all about Jesus Christ. Further, this writer states, yet often some Christians enjoy their holiday traditions and allow the true meaning of the season to recede. As we rush through the busy schedule of fun and celebration, we forget what really matters. We have all had times where we are so focused on all we must accomplish that we muddle our priorities. When this happens, we must take a break in all the busyness and ask the question, is there any room in the celebration this year for Jesus? Or has he been crowded out by all of the parties and the presents and the giving? And it goes on to talk about what happens on a national level of the celebration of Christmas. Ladies and gentlemen, we pray that you'll have a holy Christmas, a blessed Christmas, a Merry Christmas. But ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you once again, as we go on this broadcast each and every day facing the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's not my philosophy. It's not my opinion or feeling. It's not based on denominational dogma. It's not based on political rhetoric. It is based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Our program is dedicated to seeking the truth when facing issues, and we do so through the Word of God. Jesus said in John 8:31-32, speaking to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then Jesus makes two very profound declaratory statements. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth.
Amen.
And then in John 17:17, Jesus says, thy word is truth.
Amen.
And Pastor, I believe that most people forget the fact that the truth is found only in the word of God. This is the reason the secularist George Orwell made such a profound statement in his dystopian novel called 1984. Orwell said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And I believe that's exactly what we see taking place. Even when we talk about the truth of Christmas, there are those that will get in your face and deny that that's what Christmas is about. In fact, there's a move now to prevent Christmas from being celebrated. It's what's called a war on Christmas. War on Christmas. Of course, you loose likes lost liberals are saying that it's all sponsored by and promulgated by Tucker Carlson on Fox News, that he's the one that started the war on Christmas. Others are saying that it's President Trump in 2016 that started the war on Christmas because so many people were against. But he's the one, ladies and gentlemen, do you recall President Trump said, we're going to bring Christmas back. We're going to bring the celebration of Christmas back. And in several of his speeches nearing Christmas, he would say to the crowd, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. We've gotten to a society, Pastor, that most people, I believe, are fearful, ashamed, or in some way feel condemned if they walk in a store someplace and say, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. But ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about the Christmas season and we talk about the truth of Christmas, we do so based on Scripture. It's Jim DeMint, the former U.S. Senator, that said, truth is the core principle of Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values derive from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity in our nation.
Amen. Amen.
And Pastor, this is the reason I always go back to the statement by Jan Hus, the 15th century theologian and church reformer. Jan Hus made the statement, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And pastors, we go on the radio week after week after week. We're defending the truth.
Amen.
And
Amen.
There's some out there that reject it, repel at it, and simply reject what we're talking about as far as truth. But ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know, truth is the only thing that will ultimately stand. Truth is the only thing that will stand. You should know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's talking about the truth of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God.
Amen.
Ladies
Amen.
And gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries a full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, has the full line of Honda generators. And Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. And I've had some say, well, how can I find that? Ladies and gentlemen, there's a wonderful benchmark for Tools for Time. Find the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Look up. You'll see that 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. At the base of that flag and flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, as we get into the subject of today, the issue that we're speaking of today, how can we have a right Christmas? I want to know, have you pondered it? Have you wondered what you could do for this Christmas season that will make it more poignant, personal, and proper for the celebration of Christmas? What is Christmas about? Why do we celebrate Christmas? What should we do as Christians in the celebration of Christmas? Should we just become couch potatoes? Should we simply watch football 24/7 and eat too much? Is that what Christmas is about? And I believe, Pastor Davis, that's what many people think about Christmas.
Amen.
They think that Christmas is just eating too much, watching football, and some is getting into a drunken state and staying that way for the whole holiday celebration.
Amen. Well, you know, Dr. Youngblood, it is, can I say, it works to a disadvantage
mm-hmm.
for many because a Christmas has been made itself. Let's just say the real celebration, that the way that Christmas should be celebrated.
Yes.
Has been made a time of merchandise.
Mm-hmm.
The whole holiday, the reasoning has been put out of place because of the worldview of Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime that Christians, if you want anything to be messed up, then you take the worldview.
That's right.
And you're going to end up being messed up.
That's right.
But if you take God's view, mm-hmm, as recorded in the scripture, and you do it the way that God says to do it, and keep it in context, context like you tell us in the class, context.
That's right.
Amen. That's very important for us as Christians on today. Keep it in the proper context and perspective. Then and only then, Dr. Youngblood, can the name of God be glorified, because he sent us at that particular time. This is why we celebrate. He sent us his only son into the world.
Yes.
To be our savior.
Yes.
When you look at Luke chapter 2, verse number 11, the scripture said, amen, that unto you, amen, in this day is born in the city of David a savior.
Right.
Which is Christ the Lord.
Right.
Now, God always sends us exactly what we need.
Right.
We didn't need a great banker.
Right.
We didn't need a great lawyer.
Right.
We didn't need a great professor.
Mm-hmm.
We needed a savior.
Yes.
At that particular day and time when he came, the world was living through the dark ages.
Mm-hmm.
Because no one had heard, and I believe if we look at, amen, our Bibles, between the Old Testament and the New, there's a blank page in there. And so they say that represents the period of darkness, about 700 years. No one had heard anything from God about, amen, Christ Jesus coming on the scene. So when you come into the New Testament, amen, God fulfilled his promise to his people by sending them a savior. Because when we look at how many times the people of God had to suffer.
Yes.
From the days of Adam and Eve, the serpent was alive and well.
Mm-hmm.
And when we go down, amen, through the Old Testament, from the time of King David when he slew Goliath.
Yes.
And when the Babylonians, the Medes, and the Persians, and all of these people took God's people into captivity, God's people were suffering through dark times.
Yes.
But suddenly, in the New Testament, that great light shone.
Yes.
And I thank God, because Jesus is the light of the world.
Amen.
So we have a reason to, yes, celebrate on today.
Absolutely.
God sent us, amen, absolutely, a savior, which is the light of the world.
And remember when that angel came and announced to the shepherds watching their flocks by night, says, I bring you good tidings of great joy.
Amen.
Good tidings means good news.
Amen.
So I want our listeners to understand today, Christmas is about the good news.
Amen.
And the good news is that the Logos of God, the Word of God, the living Word, Jesus Christ, came to dwell among us.
Amen.
I don't know of anything that could be any greater news.
Amen.
Than that.
So wonderful.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen,
wonderful.
That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. If you'd like to jump in any place in the dialogue and discussion, we're talking about how to have a right Christmas. Perhaps you've got ideas or thoughts, things that you found down through the years in your celebration of Christmas. And many of us learn down through the years exactly where our priorities ought to be and what the priorities ought to be focused on. And many times there are those that will go through life not fully finding or understanding it. But, Pastor, we have in our woke culture today, the cancel culture today, the mindset that if you're really woke, and I'll admit to anybody, I don't know where they got that term. I don't understand
it. Save my life.
I don't even know if it's in the dictionary. I assume that they put it there. But the woke culture, the cancel culture today, would have us to believe that somehow, some way, if you say the word Jesus publicly, if you put up a Christmas tree publicly, if you have a nativity scene publicly, if you put up a wreath publicly, if in the public schools you have green and red tinsel, that somehow, some way, that's offensive to some. Listen, Pastor, I've told people for many, many years, I grew up on the farm, back in the country, back when you would drive back to where we lived, you know somebody's coming to see you because the road ends almost there.
Amen.
But when we grew up in the country as they did, there were, in our county, horse shows. It didn't make the donkeys mad because they had horse shows.
Amen.
But somehow, some way, we think that if you say Jesus publicly, it's going to offend somebody. Well, there's not anything in the Scripture, not anything in the Constitution, the Declaration, not anything in our Bill of Rights that assures you, guarantees you that you won't be offended by something.
Amen.
So
Amen.
I'm not worried about whether I say Jesus Christ publicly or we have a Christmas tree or sing Christmas carols publicly. I'm not worried about offending anybody. But there seems to be the mindset today, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, Pastor, I'm looking at an article here that accentuates what I've just said. Christian couple told that they must remove offensive Jesus Christmas sign from their yards. A Christian couple in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, have refused to comply with the Homeowners Association demand that they take down a Jesus Christmas display from their front yard that one complainant deemed it as offensive to them. The article says, although the people have lived in the community since 2005, it was the first year that they put up the handmade Christmas display. Quote, the homeowner says this, I just felt it was time to acknowledge that I am a Christian, end quote. The Homeowners Association of Courtyards Community at the links of Gettysburg received a complaint that the sign was offensive no less than 24 hours after the couple had put their Christmas display up on December the 16th. Although the birth of Christ is the reason why Christmas is celebrated, the community's governing body said that the complainant had and ordered the sign to be taken down, and members of the association executive committee sent the couple an email that stated this wasn't in accordance with the normal Christmas decoration.
Amen. Amen.
Not in accordance with the Christmas decoration, when it just simply was carved out of a piece of cardboard or wood that was carved out beautifully, the name Jesus.
My
Jesus.
My.
It was painted white with beautiful color borders on it, but they said that wasn't in compliance with the normal Christmas decoration. The homeowner said, we feel that what Christmas is all about, Jesus is first, so we're celebrating his birthday, and this is how we've decided to do it. We were just kind of shocked that someone would take offense about what Christmas is all about. And the homeowners board says the sign, Jesus sign, violates all the rules and the signs of the neighborhood. I don't know what's wrong with our nation today.
Well, Dr. Youngblood, you know, it's a sad case that they're always offended anytime the name of Jesus is used or anything according to his likeness.
Mm-hmm.
Because just back in October, we observed, and I say observed because I don't participate.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. The Halloween,
mm-hmm,
supposed to have been a celebration that many people partook of.
Mm-hmm. Even
Christmas. I have ridden by many houses. Thank you so much, mm-hmm, because that was coming next.
Yes.
Praise God.
Yes.
I've ridden by many houses, walked in many stores, and also, sad to say, ridden by many churches.
Yes.
That celebrated Halloween. And I don't see anything constructive in that for a Christian.
Nothing whatsoever. If you go back to the roots of that, the demonic roots of it, it is embarrassing to me.
Amen.
To see a Christian participate, to see a Christian put some ghostly, gobbly outfit on their kids and march them down the streets to beg for candy.
Amen.
And put their lives in danger to do so.
Amen.
And at the same time, just as you said with that, I'm offended by that.
Amen.
But
Amen.
It's taking place.
Yet, now, Dr. Youngblood, I can't remember. Now, maybe somebody can correct me if I'm wrong. I can't remember hearing any time that any Christians complained because they glorified dead things.
Yes.
And they participated in things pertaining to witchcraft.
That's right.
None of us, and I know I didn't myself, I went in many stores. I didn't like it. But because I needed certain things out of the store at that particular time, I had to go in and do my shopping.
Right.
But I did not complain to the store owner because they were glorifying dead things and celebrating a time of witchcraft.
And yet you have stores like Target and many others, not just Target. We stopped shopping at Target some 12, 15 years ago.
Amen.
Because they would not play Christmas music and would not allow the clerks, the cashiers, store workers to say Merry Christmas to the shoppers in there.
Amen.
And so in my complaint that day to the manager of the store, I said, I'm not spending God's money in a store where God is not recognized and where God is not allowed to be talked about, and the celebration of Christmas is downplayed and rejected.
Amen.
Not spend God's money, and walked out. Haven't been back in since. And ladies and gentlemen, just a little tip that you can take or reject if you like. Any store any merchant that refuses to play Christmas music, refuses to say Merry Christmas as you walk in that door or the cashier to be, don't spend your money there. Find a place where they celebrate Christmas in the right sense, where they recognize that it's the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it's the Savior's birth. It is the celebration of the incarnation where God becomes man and dwells among us. That's what Christmas is about.
Amen.
It's where God comes from heaven's glory to earth's gloom through the incarnation, God becoming man. And we celebrate that today, ladies and gentlemen, in the realization and the recognition that God is dwelling with us. But yet, as Pastor Davis just said, I don't go in a store and I'm offended by it. I don't jump up and down and say something to the manager when it comes to Halloween. But yet they will not celebrate Christmas in the same sense. There's a mindset that we've got to be sequestered away from the general eyes, that we've got to prevent anything from being said or done that will cause someone to be offended. Ladies and gentlemen, anytime you say the name of Jesus, the demons in hell is going to be offended. Anytime you say Jesus or publish the name Jesus or put anything out publicly about the celebration of Christmas, there'll be the atheists, the heathens, that will say that is offensive to me. But I want to know, Pastor, when in the world, in the United States of America, did the atheists, the heathens, and the minuscule number in America become the rulers and the dominating factors as to when we celebrate Christmas and what we say or do? I'm offended by that very fact.
Amen.
But yet that is what's taking place today, ladies and gentlemen. So, ladies and gentlemen, when we have the colorful wreaths, when we have the Christmas trees, when we have the colorful stencil, the beautiful lights, my bride has said on several occasions, she said, I love to see the beautiful lights because it speaks forth very clearly of our celebration of the Savior, that the Savior's come. It is a refreshing reflection on what Jesus Christ has done a little over 2,000 years ago in his first coming. And when we celebrate this Christmas, I want us to look at it through the prism of the celebration of the first Christmas.
Amen.
The celebration of the first Christmas. And you find the angels making that wonderful announcement that I bring you good tidings of great joy. And further, we find a Savior is born. It is Jesus Christ that's come into the world.
Amen.
We should not be surprised, after all, when Jesus was born, the first coming, the first advent of the Lord Jesus Christ, there was no room for Jesus.
Amen. No room.
In the end. No
I'll
room.
Say it.
And when you look at the text in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, and we'll look at that in a moment. But ladies and gentlemen, when you look at Luke 2, you find that when Jesus was born into the world, he was born in a stable. There was no recognition of Jesus Christ as King of Kings. There was no reception of Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And may I use that as an analysis and a comparative statement to what we're seeing today. Today, Jesus Christ is not recognized. Today, in our society, Pastor, Jesus is not embraced and received. Today,
Amen.
In our society, there seems to be no room for Jesus
no
Christ
room.
In the society in which we're living.
Amen. Amen. It's a very sad situation, again, Dr. Youngblood, because as you said, we sometimes get carried away.
Mm-hmm.
And it shouldn't be like that. We need to keep the proper focus where it really belongs.
Yes.
If you love God and if you keep his commandments, just like Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the
Amen.
Lord.
Amen. That's a good text.
Now, I don't know about anyone else out there, but if you keep your mind focused toward that, then you can keep Christmas in its proper perspective.
Yes.
Because it's not in what you give me or give anyone else.
Yes.
Because sometimes we can burden ourselves down with so much buying and giving until when the new year comes, we're taking a mountain of debt over into the new year.
Yes.
Now you're living under bondage until you get that bill paid.
Absolutely. And Pastor, I just said recently to our people in our church, many times people will give gifts that 6 months from now, there will be somebody that received them will be selling them in a garage sale.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
They look at it as having no real value.
Amen.
And therefore, we need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, that the real value is what we do in the recognition of what the Scripture says about the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the first Christmas. That should set the precedent. That should be the pattern. That should be the approach that we take to celebrating Christmas. What do we do? But I challenge us, ladies and gentlemen, do not put it in a position that there's no room for Jesus in your shopping and sightseeing and your socializing. Be sure that room is left for Jesus, to witness for Jesus, to worship Jesus, to walk with Jesus, to recognize that our work and our walk ought to be focused on the Lordship of Jesus Christ and what we're doing and what we're saying. But when he says in the second chapter of Luke, there was no room for him in the inn. He was not received. He was not respected. There was no rejoicing in his coming, at the first coming of Jesus Christ. But Pastor, I'm astounded that in our public schools today, the kids in school are told that you can't celebrate Christmas, that you can't mention Christmas, that you can't have a Christmas tree, that you can't give Christmas cards that has Jesus or God or anything like that in it. They have simply tried to whitewash Jesus out of Christmas. But yet in our public schools, we have the sodomite lifestyle being taught as legitimate.
Amen, amen.
We have abortion being taught as being okay. We have transsexuality, homosexuality, and pedophilia being taught in our public schools today as though that is real and relevant. And yet Jesus Christ is shut out, foreclosed, with no room in our public schools for Christmas celebration.
Amen.
That's offensive to me. I don't know of anything else, ladies and gentlemen, that's any more offensive than that very thought. That in our public schools, we're destroying the lives, the minds, the hearts, the morals, and the ethics, and the values of our kids with all of the garbage, but yet Jesus Christ is left out. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully, and perhaps you've heard this before, and so it's not new, I'm sure, with multitudes that's listening. If we would allow Jesus in the classrooms, we would not have to worry about prisoners in the prison cells.
Amen.
If we'd allow Jesus in the classrooms and the celebration of who Jesus Christ is, we wouldn't have to put Bibles in the prison cells.
Amen.
Because we would have a changed society, a changed culture, a changed heart with what is done in the proper celebration of this that we call the celebration of Christmas. Pastor, I'm offended by what we see taking place. The public schools were not allowed the candy canes. In fact, just a few years ago, the candy canes were banned from public schools for the most part because the red and white stripes and the candy cane, they said always, always indicated pointed to Christmas, and you couldn't have that in the public schools. Even with any of the schools that have the decorations for Christmas, they will not allow the green and red tinsel because they say that represents Christmas. Anything that is a vestige of Christmas and of Christ in our public schools has literally been taken out. You can have all of this other garbage, LGBTQ and the CRT, et cetera, with the critical race theories being taught. And ladies and gentlemen, I just discovered in some of the schools in California and Oregon and the state of Washington, the teaching of the critical race theory includes entire sections on teaching witchcraft. That's how they bring it in subtly, that our kids in public schools from kindergarten through university and college level are being brainwashed and destroyed. And not only in our schools, ladies and gentlemen, but on public property, taxpayer-owned property. I'm always offended by this very much because with public property, they call it public property, but what does it mean? It means we own it. It means that it's our property. It's taxpayer-funded, taxpayer-bought property. And yet on public property, there's not allowing today in most cities, most counties, most communities, a manger scene or any vestige of Christ for Christmas. We're finding it today, ladies and gentlemen. Big box stores won't play Christmas music, won't allow the merchants to say Merry Christmas as you come in. And again, I repeat, if you go into a store for Christmas shopping and there's silence on Merry Christmas and not playing Christmas music, find the manager. Ask the manager why. And if he says, well, you don't want to offend anybody, let him know, sir, you've just offended me. We're not going to spend God's money in a store where God is not recognized and Jesus Christ is not honored at his season. Even the Christmas today, even the CDC, Emperor Fauci, and all of those that are pushing the COVID plandemic, they're now saying that you ought not to get together for Christmas to celebrate Christmas. In fact, one writer said in that vein that if your whole family, your guests that are coming in, grandma, grandpa that's coming over for Christmas, if they've not all been vaccinated, then don't let them come in. But ladies and gentlemen, let me just touch on a little parenthetical footnote to tie that loose end. Right now, it's found in America and around the world, majority of those that are getting sick, the majority of those that are dying from COVID-19 are those that have already been vaccinated. It proves that it doesn't work. In fact, in an article that I read on the broadcast, I believe partially the other day, if I didn't, I'll read it in the near future, where even now Emperor Fauci, St. Fauci, is now saying that the COVID vaccination does not prevent the COVID pathogen from coming into the system. ladies and gentlemen, let me just remind us, hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back after the top of the hour news as we continue to talk about today. How to have a right Christmas.
Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.